Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our... We miss you, Ari.
Did they say that in the movie?
But we will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Scott. And this is Time Pop. There it is.
That's for you, Ari.
Oh, my God. That feels good. Yes, Ari is... taking a break. It's her birthday month, so there's all kinds of good things happening for her. So she deserves to take a break, although she did see the film, and I can tell you her opinion of it at some point.
Awesome.
What film are we doing, friend? Since you didn't even reveal it with the constant.
I know, and I'm so excited because we do get to, by not putting off this recording, I do get to release this week.
Ooh.
Instead of having this come out sometime in late August.
This is fresh. This is like when people get their like buns right out of the bakery and they're still warm.
You ever been to Krispy Kreme where you got those ones that are just...
You get the fresh.
Warm,
you get the fresh.
And gooey and free, just like this podcast.
So this podcast is fresh and warm and gooey and free.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not going to get into the gooey.
Indiana Jones.
And...
It is and. I didn't know if it was and or colon.
The
I-O of Dez. Of Dez Tiny.
Dez Tiny.
Indiana Jones of the Dial of Destiny.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun.
He's back.
Wow. I wish I meant to, because I watched this 3 days ago, which if you're a fan of the show is the equivalent of me watching it last year.
Yeah, totally. We forget everything. Wait, when did I see this? I saw this on Saturday.
Same here. So we saw it on the same day. And not only did I watch this on Saturday, I took a long drive. I'm trying to finish a book for my other stupid podcast that I do.
Stupid.
For the Wheel of Time.
Sounds great.
And I need to finish the third book before season two starts. And so I took a 2-hour drive listening to the Wheel of Time, watched the Dial of Destiny, and then took a 2-hour drive back and finished my Wheel of Time book. So my brain is just like collapsing in on itself with...
Oh my God, you're going to talk about the Wheel of Time and the Wheel of Time and Destiny dials. And
so Rand and Egwene go to Germany and... no, wait, that's not it.
Oh, no. Oh, Ari, we're falling apart. There's no continuity. There's no canon.
So we saw it on Saturday, and I'm watching a YouTube video right now, and like, no matter when I watch this movie, like, this YouTube video is already like pointing out so much shit that I missed.
Oh.
Just completely missed. Did you know he caught a bullet?
He caught a bullet?
He caught a bullet, like the Flash.
I miss that.
When the bullet ricochets off the train, when the one guy is like, when his buddy is trying to shoot the Nazi off of him on the train.
Yeah.
He, when that bullet ricochets, Indiana Jones catches it.
Wait, what?
I could tell by the look on Scott's face. We're about ready to just stop this recording altogether and go watch this movie.
No, why would he stop it? Wait, when? What? What?
On the train.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go back. Because he shows it too. Like, this guy doesn't just say it. Like, he replays the scene.
And he freaking catches a bullet that Shaw accidentally fires at him. Like, I know the Holy Grail water didn't actually make him immortal. But, I mean, between this and the nuke in the fridge, what can't this guy do?
And he replays it twice. Indiana Jones, he's gone full like diehard superhero.
Oh man.
I'm on this. You know what? I'm all in. I have so many opinions about this movie. I'm gonna try to spread them out a little bit. I have 20 pages of notes.
Wow.
Well, that's just because in the theater, I only write 3 or 4 lines per page because I'm so afraid of accidentally writing over an old note in the dark.
Yeah, I was about to say, how do you do it? You're doing your notes in the theater in the dark. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually not too bad. Like I said, as long as I skip way down and turn the page a lot.
Yeah, let's start with it. Did you like it?
I hate to just jump in. Oh, actually, I can do this. As an Indiana Jones movie, it was fucking amazing.
Okay.
I thought it was top notch, maybe the second best Indiana Jones movie ever.
What? All right. If Ari was here, this is the moment where she'd be like,
Okay. You can't. I don't care how much.
I'm going to speak on her. No, we don't have to. We different opinions. We're allowed to have those.
I don't care how much nostalgia you have for Temple of Doom. It's a terrible movie.
Yeah, yeah. Raiders is really clearly the best of the. It's kind of like, it's like Star Wars, right? We'll be like, oh, what a great trilogy. The original trilogy. And people like, the first one, like Luke whines a little bit. And like Return of the Jedi is a big puppet show. It's like all about Empire, really.
Yeah.
And like Raiders is such a high caliber film, right? Temple of Doom. A little weak, very offensive racially.
You got to listen to that woman scream the whole time. Yeah.
King Capshaw annoys the fuck out of everyone. Last Crusade, a lot of people like it. I just want, it's so, Sean Connery thinks he's so cute. He thinks he's so funny and they're so into their shtick.
Yeah.
It's a little distracting. So I get it, but it's still a bold statement.
And then we can agree that Crystal Skull is the worst.
Oh, Crystal what?
Even if it's a good.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's, there's a video rental store that only has Crystal Skull and Godfather 3. It's like in another, it's in another plane of existence. These are just two films that we all agree. It's like opposite Mandela effect. We all agree they don't exist.
You know what? I watched it recently because I was kind of going through all the indie movies. It's, as an Indiana Jones movie, it could be worse. And I can get into the alien thing. The ancient alien thing, that's an easy bridge for me to cross.
I don't even remember that. I only saw it in the theater, never again. I'll see it. I'll go watch it.
I'm all about ancient aliens, so that allows it to continue to exist. But I think this movie was hampered by the fact that they didn't want the last movie. They didn't want Crystal Skull to exist either. Like,
but they reference it.
In just enough to say, fuck Shia LaBeouf. If you think Shia LaBeouf is going to be in this movie.
Bye-bye.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
And Marion, is it Kate Capshaw? No.
No, Marion
no,
is.
That's the Doom girl.
What's her name? Allen. Karen Allen.
She probably should have been in this movie more. Just if you're going to harken back to Raiders and go there, like, I don't know why. But they definitely, like at the top of the script, it said, fuck Shia LaBeouf. And then it, like, at every turn when they're like, well, maybe we could do this. And it's like, okay, but if we do that, we're going to have to call Shia LaBeouf. And they're like, oh, yeah, fuck that. Fuck that.
Yeah, how do we have it in the future but work around him? Well, they did it.
They did it. And I think it fucked up anything cooler they could have done with time travel. Like, I think, okay, are we getting there?
Well, wait.
Do you want to set the movie up a little bit more before we?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can speak. I saw it with Ari. I think she hated it. I thought it was okay. It was fine. It brought up this thing in me that, like, and I felt this way about all the Marvel movies lately. I just haven't loved a film. I don't feel like anyone's trying very hard. It was fine. It's in the future. It works. It wasn't amazing. No one's going for like the best film or like to really change the game or take chances.
Yeah.
And I've been feeling that way about all the Marvels since Endgames. And you know, I haven't felt very excited about things since like, I don't know, Dune or Blade Runner 2046, which is the same director, or Tenet, or like a Christopher Nolan things, or Interstellar available on DVD. So I like the idea. Yeah, let's get into it. You know, well,
everyone's, well, just to put a point on your point, like everyone's just trying so hard not to fuck up what they've built, you know, and like, and that's where Christopher Nolan's great because he other than Batman, he doesn't do series. He just does standalone. Like you either love this movie or you hate this movie, but I don't need 4 more movies to stand on its shoulders.
Right. I'd say none of these are reboots or re-sequels, but Blade Runner and Dune are reboots and sequels. Yeah. So, yeah.
But at least Dune was definitely like, we got to blow everything up and do this right.
Yeah, they tried hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't try to be like, well, let's not ruin everyone's childhood by shitting on David Bowie's legacy. You know, just like, let's just move forward. Oh, no, not David. Is Bowie in Dune?
No, Sting.
Sting's in Dune. Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into the film. I mean, the time travel is a small element in it, so we can get to that in a little bit. But, right, we can quickly say the first 30 minutes, we're back in the past. We have a CGI'd younger Indiana Jones on an adventure.
And it looks great. I don't care what anyone says. Like, you can bitch about de-aging if you want. But, I mean, we have so much footage of young Harrison Ford that, like...
Yeah, for CGI, it still doesn't express all the emotions in the skin. But for CGI to young, it was the best I've seen.
Yeah. A lot of, early on, a lot of foreshadowing. They did everything but straight steal the twinkle from Back to the Future. And they played it a couple of times. Like, weird little, like, even when it wasn't really necessary, they kind of wanted to just hit that nostalgia of, like, and just good old-fashioned clocks. Like, you feel like you're in Doc Brown's fucking garage a couple of times. Like, they try so hard to make sure that you know that time is going to play a part in this movie.
Yeah. So, the beginning, it's 1944, and they were trying to get the Lance of Longinus.
Right? Yeah.
In the castle in the French Alps. And I guess it was a fake. There's a whole big adventure and stuff. Is it that they were actually looking for the Archimedes dial or they accidentally found it?
I think they tripped over it because the spear was a fake. So that just kind of, everyone was just like, well, what the fuck are we going to do now? And then at some point it's like, well, that might be fake, but this is real and it's a big deal, I think, is what kind of happened.
So they find a device or half of a device that is Archimedes' dial.
Antikythera.
Antikythera, yeah.
Antikythera.
Antikythera, whatever. I'm trying to remember at the end, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bad guy who's trying to get it. He seems like he gets decapitated. They have to jump off of a train into the water. And then we're supposed to think that they lost half of the dial.
I thought they only had half of the dial at the beginning.
Well, later on, the daughter think that they, okay, whatever. Yeah. So they have the dial.
Yeah. So it says here, I'm double checking Wikipedia, but they have found half of Archimedes' dial, the Antikythera.
Yeah. They only have half. They don't get the other half till later. And so then we fast forward to the future. It's 1969. So, right. So in like 1938, when we see Indy, if he's like 30.
44. We see him at 44.
No, right. No, I know. But all the other movies, aren't they like 38, 39? They're like, I believe they're 37, 38, 39 around there for Raiders through.
Yeah, because Doom is before Raiders.
Right. We're assuming he's supposed to be like 30 in there at 69. Maybe he's 60. That's kind of just a guess.
Yeah.
He's elderly and he's bitter. Like, it starts off with him just sleeping in his lazy boy, like shirtless, just grumpy old man. Neighbors are playing loud music.
Yeah, it's very set up. So we learn this through the movie, but his son dies. Shia LaBeouf dies in World War II.
Nope.
And then Indiana Jones goes into a deep depression. And then that's why Marion leaves him.
Or she left because she was depressed and he became depressed because she left. Whatever combo that is. He's not doing well. Now we're seeing Indiana's old days. He's kind of bitter. He works at Hunter College, which is like an okay college in New York, but not like worthy of the world's greatest archaeologist. You would think he's at, you know.
Yeah, where is he before? Because, yeah, he's like a big deal.
It was in the Midwest, I remember, somewhere,
in
right?
In previous, like,
Indiana,
movies.
Not Indiana. But anyway, yeah. So, like, and he hates his job. The students don't pay attention to him. It's a sad future for our Indiana.
Yeah.
It's hard to see him living in New York City, too. Whatever. I don't know.
Oh, duh. I was like, sorry. I was just like searching, like, when the fuck did this movie take place? But duh, it happened during the moon landing. So it's 1969. Yeah.
So without getting too much into the plot, like, quickly, there's a woman who's in class who actually knows things while students don't. And then later on, she approaches him and she is the daughter of his old partner, who he's the godfather of, I guess.
Yes.
The partner has since died. And she's kind of up talking about the dial of destiny. And she makes it sound like she thought that it was in the river. And he gets excited. At first, he's resistant, but then he gets excited and starts telling her about stuff. But then all of a sudden, there's some people pursuing them. You can't tell. One looks like she's maybe like FBI, CIA. The others are shady as fuck and shooting people. And there's a big chase and they shoot people up in Indiana's office. And she ends up kind of just ditching Indiana there.
Yeah.
And taking the dial of destiny.
Yeah, she's all about that money. She watched her dad basically kill himself over looking for antiquities. And so she's like, she has all this knowledge of antiquities, but she just wants to use it to get rich. So she goes to like, she finds shit and then goes to underground auctions and just makes money. And
yeah,
that's that. Along with her version of Short Round. I forget what his name.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. Her assistant. So she's like, he's kind of framed as an accomplice, or whatever. He gets out of the situation and he finds out that she's dealing in like in Tangiers, like an auction for these things and just selling it for money. We get to see Sala.
Yeah.
Who's also in New York, that I guess Indiana got him out there. Cool to see him. And then Indiana's off in Morocco. Yeah.
John Rhys Davies. Yeah.
And then we're in Morocco, back to Morocco, which is like, that's kind of a nice, yeah, it's like a old Raiders vibe. And so there's this, yeah, this hangout of scoundrel and villainry, and they're doing illegal sales of ancient artifacts. And now the race is on. He's trying to get it. She's trying to get it. There's some Nazis who are trying to get it. The Nazi from the beginning that we thought had died was trying to get it. There's all kinds of things happening.
Yes. It's a classic Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones run around the world. The Nazi, it's kind of interesting because, yeah, he's, you know, you assume that the Nazi is trying to get this so that Hitler can use it to go back in time and win the war. But this guy is actually like, you know what? Hitler, I was Hitler's right hand man and I watched him fuck up all the time. So I'm going to use this to fix the war for me instead of for Hitler.
Yeah.
So
there's lots of stuff that happens.
There's a lot of stuff that happens.
There's so many car chases in this film. I'm not a big car chase guy. I got enough car chases.
How about a tuk-tuk? You like a good tuk-tuk chase?
Yeah, tuk-tuk chase. This woman is really smart, this goddaughter. With Indiana and her, they all get together. They figure out the location of the second half of the dial. They kind of scuba down to get it. It gets in the hands of our Nazi friends again.
FYI, that was my bathroom break.
Okay.
Was when they... somewhere around there when they're on the boat. I got back by the time things went haywire back on the surface.
It's such a classic back and forth. This movie reminds me of Raiders. It's like Indiana finds it and then someone steals it from him. And there's so much back and forth of like him getting it. And the Nazis just come up at the right moment like, oh, you found it. We wouldn't have, but thank you. Now we're going to take that from you.
And you know what? Wow, this is the same as Raiders also.
How?
If Indiana Jones is not even involved.
Yep. I was thinking about that.
And is the same.
You told me about your theory about that Raiders, like all the stuff he did in Raiders for the most part is not necessary because they would have found it. They would open the ark. They all would have died.
Yep.
But because he's there, he does get it back in the U.S. protected, theoretically. And he's the one that kind of found the location and then the Nazis got it from him. So he did. He helped the Nazis. But
yeah, as always, they follow him.
They probably would have gotten
it. Yeah, he's trying to get it back for Mother America. But he always leads the Nazis to it. Oh, leading up to this, the body count in this movie is massive.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know that like a lot of red shirts die in Indiana Jones movies, but like a lot of named characters ate shit in this movie.
Yeah.
And several of them by the hands of Indiana Jones. Like,
you realize his sailor buddy was Antonio Banderas?
Yes.
It took me a second.
That was
old. He looked skinny and different. Yeah.
He looked DA'd. Like he looked good, but
he looked aged, over extra aged.
I didn't think so. I thought he just looked a little scruffy and and good. Like I felt like, I don't know why. And I think it's just me like not knowing how time works. Like I feel like Antonio Banderas should be 90.
Yeah.
And he did not look 90. So I was like, all right.
I thought he looked 90.
But anyways, and at one point I wrote down, oh, I bet the reason the body count is so high is because they're going to go back in time and these people aren't actually going to die. Because this is a massacre.
I mean, you know, Nazis are known for killing lots of people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's well, kind of their bag. But
even Nazis aside, I just felt like, wow.
Oh, yeah, they kill the people in his office. Yeah, there's a lot of dead folks.
Yeah.
And we're finding out that they're talking about, you know, Archimedes and using math. He supposedly created this dial that they're suggesting mathematically can time travel. Like, not time travel. We can talk about this. Finding time fissures.
Yes.
So it's not a time travel device, but it can locate like time fissures or little open spots where portals are.
Yeah. What was the, I kept meaning to look up fissure just to like get a better explanation of that. Cause is that kind of like, what movie did we just watch?
It's described as a crack in time.
Is it kind of like Flash?
It could rupture at one point in time, stretch to another point in the time vortex.
Oh.
So it's a crack in time. It's like a little portal.
So is it kind of like the Flash where like these moments in time are so historical that they create
they're just figuring out mathematically. Fissure, at its definition, is a long, narrow opening or line of breakage made by cracking or splitting, especially in rock or earth.
Okay.
So think of just a crack in time. Gonna get crack in time.
Described as a crack in time by Charlie Pollard, a time fissure could rupture at one point in time and stretch to another point through the time vortex. One time fissure ruptured in the mid-21st century. And okay, I think this is, they're talking about Doctor Who, I think, is what this time fissure is.
Anyway, so it helps them mathematically locate time fissures.
It's kind of like a black hole, except
yeah,
not a black hole, but it still functions.
A little crack in time.
Yeah. Gonna go crack in time.
So, if the Nazis had gotten hold of something like that, obviously that's, some pretty powerful. You could see why this is a much wanted device.
So are you ready for a big hole?
I'm always ready for a big hole.
We're going to drive a truck through this hole, I think, unless you can fix it. So she tries to explain the dial, but there's nothing really on it. They move a couple of dials and it's attached to this fissure point. And so I'm pretty sure they say it's based on longitude and latitude, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Continental drift doesn't change longitude and latitude.
Hmm.
The continents move and the continents won't be at a specific longitude and latitude, but
that doesn't change.
Longitude and latitude are fixed points in space that continental drift move around in. Like 30 north, 25 east is always going to be the exact same point, whether or not that's exactly where Iowa will always be. And I'm just making up these numbers. Like,
right. Well, yeah, let's get, so we were jumping ahead, but basically there's back and forth. India, they steal the little short round guy. Indiana and goddaughter are getting along.
Kidnapping moves this plot along, just like any good Indiana Jones movie.
Classically, they get to the cave first. They find the thing first. That's what they always do. But then it gets taken from them. And you find out that, yeah, like Des said, our main Nazi wants to go back in time, kill Hitler, who he believes failed. He's like, the Nazis didn't lose. I mean, the other side didn't win. The Nazis lost. We made dumb mistakes. So he wants
Hitler
to go back
lost.
And correct it. Hitler lost. He wants to kill Hitler and lead the Nazis to victory. And so he's now got the full dial and he's going to go for it. Now, I don't get, with the dial, you are looking for time fissures. How do you control where you go through that fissure? I don't get how that's ever brought up. They're trying to suggest you can fly in at a certain coordinate to decide, but like, you're just going in a time fissure. How do you know where that's going to take you? By the angle you go in the fissure at?
Math.
They never explain how you can control what time you go to. All that does is tell you where the time fissure is.
Right.
So that's, I have a vision. And then they're flying into it. So anyway, they all end up in the same vessel. They're now flying to there's two vessels. They're flying to the time fissure. And Indiana starts like telling him, yeah, it's the continental drift. You don't know where you're going. The intention of the guy is to go to 1939 to assassinate Hitler and take over. And Indiana's telling him that. The last second, that guy believes Indiana and says stop, but it's too late. He's already like in the tractor. But again, I don't get how the dial just tells you where the fissure is. So I don't get what math can have you control where you go.
It's on the dial somehow. She explained it at some point.
All right.
And even for a time travel movie, it was rushed.
Now, before we get into them going through the fissure, we should say when they were in the cave, they found like the ear of Dionysus, right? They found the like tomb of Archimedes.
Yes.
And they find on the side of the tomb it looks like there's this like dragon with propellers on it. And they find a wristwatch. It is all ancient, buried skeleton. They look like the first ones to get there because Indiana's the only one that knows how to do these things. It's a wristwatch, and that's unusual.
Thousands of years before any clock would be invented.
Okay, and so now they're going through the time fissure. He's hoping to get to 1939, and what happens? They arrive at the Siege of Syracuse in 212 BC. They arrive at the time of Archimedes.
And Jones is shot.
Yeah.
Jones is shot.
There's like all kinds of fights on the plane and people dying and falling off. And Jones is shot. Yeah.
So
in pretty close to the heart, just above it on the shoulder.
Yeah.
He didn't stop that bullet.
So, yeah. So they're trying to get out of it. Holy crap. Or at least he's trying to stop the pilots. They go through the fissure and they wind up at the Siege of Syracuse in 2012 BC. And there is a massive, which is a real thing. And I didn't look up if there were any theories of there being dragons at this siege.
Well, that's how they see it. They see it and they go, look, I've never seen a dragon like that. And, you know,
right. It makes sense that they would call it a dragon. They've never seen anything fly before. They've, you know, never seen. They're using like trebuchets and ships with cannonballs. There's this big land sea battle going on. And these people are fucking up history in every way.
Right?
One of the planes goes down, right? Like, doesn't the original plane they go through in, like, it crash lands in 2012 BC full of Nazi memorabilia and Nazi uniforms and metal bullets and Gatling guns and all kinds of shit. So history will never be the same.
I mean, if you ask me, the butterfly effect from that alone would, I mean, knowing a device like what that might spark to people's imagination of someone like Archimedes. I'm trying to look up now if Archimedes had anything to do with flight. He does have some things.
I think mathematically, I think he's one of those people that figured it out.
Well, he worked with like buoyancy and like a lot of his studies look like it helped a lot with.
Oh, right. Because that's how they get in to the tomb. Is through buoyancy. Yeah, is he the one that discovered volume? How to measure volume? Was that Archimedes?
His principle states that any object totally or partially immersed in fluid is buoyed up by a force equal to the weight of the fluid displaced by the object.
It sounds like witchcraft.
Archimedes thrust and lift. So, I mean, it's interesting that if he did work with flight at all, that this could explain it. Why was this guy such a genius? His imagination was taken over.
So
they went back in time. So they've done this. There's time travel, my friends.
They went back in time. They managed to, like we said, they managed to crash. I mean, if one bullet, if one person in 2012 BC finds a single bullet, history has changed forever. Like once.
We should mention that before this, when they were in the cave, they were looking at the watch and they were like, oh, Archimedes used this. He already used this. That's how.
Oh, right. Right.
It explains a lot. That was said, so it's relevant. So they're not in the past for that long.
No.
People are getting speared. Archimedes comes out.
So the Nazi plane crashes, but also who sneaks in behind the fissure is Helena's buddy, her short round.
Yeah.
So he comes through in a small Cessna.
Here's what maybe you saw something about this, right? I couldn't tell. They show Archimedes in the beginning when these people land in his time. You see the dial of destiny. Are we to understand that they think that that's completed or it's not yet complete? I took it that it was not yet finished.
Correct. That's what I got. I got that.
So we're gonna get into a paradox soon.
Yes.
That they helped. Okay, great. Anyway, so they land. Indiana's shot. All the Nazis are dying. One way, I think.
They're dead. For all intents and purposes, Nazis are all dead.
Indiana decides that she's going to go back with her friend Helena, but like he wants to stay here. He's kind of done with life. And like for an archaeologist for retiring, and it's like, what a great way to spend his retirement. That's like Doc Brown retiring in the Old West, right?
What a great way to destroy the, that would, I mean, they would have to make another Indiana Jones movie just to show what happens when he digs up his own jacket 2000 years later.
Right. He'd be studying himself in the future.
He's studying
the bones of himself. Oh, that's, see, there's fun to be had.
So Helena is the voice of reason. She's just like, no, you will destroy time. I mean, she doesn't say that, but
yeah, weird that Indiana doesn't consider that, although they've already fucked with time so much anyway. But like, she's like, dude, you can't stay back here. You might change time. You might, but anyway, Archimedes comes out. They come face to face with Archimedes. Luckily, they speak every language.
Yeah, of course.
And he says that they need help. And he actually created the Dial of Destiny specifically to bring help back there to them.
Oh, is that what he says?
Yeah, he says, he said, I created this to bring you to me.
Oh, I don't remember that.
So in essence, the Dial of Destiny is not a thing for time travel. It was like a beacon. It was like to get someone to help him.
Oh.
And he asked for help. And Indiana says, I will stay and help you. And she's like, no, you don't mean that, blah, blah, blah.
So we run into this situation where now, I mean, Archimedes is already working on it, but there's no, he might not have been able to finish his dial had he not seen a completed dial.
Right. So he sees this and when he sees it, and then he knows that it works. He knows that it worked.
Yeah.
She ends up like stealing Indiana back, but Archimedes gives him the dial, but keeps the watch.
Yes.
So now we get it all. Archimedes got the watch. I'm sure that helped him figure out some stuff.
She punches Indiana Jones in the face to get like...
Movies abuse how you punch someone to knock them out. Like, if you do it enough that works, there might be like brain damage or jaw damage. It's like not... It's a heavy impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we won't get into that.
Yeah.
So they end up in the future with the dial. We can take a pause here and talk about some of the time travel stuff.
Well, we'll call it the present. Unfortunately, they don't go into the future.
Yeah, sorry. They go into their future, the present. But let's talk about the... So what this is, I am saying, is a consistent causal loop, which means Archimedes did not finish this device, this Dial of Destiny. But in the future, there's a finished version. They use it to get back to the past, which they showed Archimedes, which is how he finishes it. But he never would have if he didn't see it. But so this is just suggesting the Scott Lifton time travel theory that all time has happened and has always happened. In a loop like this, one side cannot exist without the other.
Well, it's stupid
if that's the case. And we've seen this before.
This is so easily fixed by just giving Archimedes the completed dial.
Yeah, they don't need it.
Yeah, they don't need it. And then...
Yeah, I mean, but it still would have been a consistent causal loop.
And then, but then you definitely create it. But now there's two dials in the world.
Right.
Because now they have their dial that they came back with. And then Archimedes is still finishing a dial.
Which becomes theirs, but yeah.
In the past it does, but there is still two dials on the planet.
And...
Which means eventually, if this loop keeps happening, there's 2,000 years where there's an infinite number of dials of destiny.
Wait. Oh, I see what you're thinking. I didn't take it that way. I take it they come back to their present and they're taking over and there's just that one dial, which is the same dial in the past.
No.
You're suggesting they come back to a new future.
Yeah.
Or they come back and there's another dial there and the one that they have.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're playing with it being semi-linear, that wouldn't be the case. There's a lot left open. Your theory could be a thing, but it also may not be. We also don't know if he finished it or not. There could be one where he already finished it, in which case it's not a causal loop. But it seemed like he hadn't.
They should have just given him the finished dial, and then the dial...
Then it would have closed the loop.
Yeah, then the dial is in its own loop.
And there would have been a reason. He needs help. They come back to him to help, and then they don't help him. Yeah, it's so weird. He needs help, but I don't know if they did help by showing him the thing. Anyway, but this is a paradox. You know, I was reading an example of the consistent causal loop. It says it's an example of like a math professor travels to the future and steals a groundbreaking math theorem. Professor gives the theorem to a student. That student grows up to be the very person from whom the professor stole.
Right.
You know, that's like, or the thing where like you go back in time, you leave a time machine, they use it to travel, and that's how you found out about it in the future, but it wouldn't have happened if you didn't go back. It all relies on it. It's a loop that has to be constant.
Yeah.
So I think that's what they're talking about.
I think so, but I think it fucks up how many.
I see where you're trying to go with. I think their intention is they were in the future, they came back with the dial, then they go back and they're the ones with that one dial, still the same dial from the past.
Still the same dial.
But I see how you could, I see your theory also.
Yeah.
It was such a small time travel bit and it felt inconsequential. Essentially, they go back and they don't do anything. They don't help him. All they do is expose them to a flying vessel and a watch.
And they crash land a Nazi warplane in 2012 BC.
You think there'd be images of Nazi of the symbol like throughout time because they'd seen it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There should be a butterfly effect. However, there's not, because they're suggesting this has happened and has always happened this way.
This is how it always happened.
But yeah. But again, the time travel, I would have been happier with the film if the time travel was more significant. I thought Indiana was going to go back and change a part of his life, or he was going to retire in the past, or keep his son from dying, or help Archimedes, or be a part of history. I thought there'd be a bigger significance of time travel.
Well, and I think that's why they fucked up, because I think, because that was my first thought. It's like, you know what? So many Indiana Jones movies are based on blind, dumb luck that it would have been so easy to have him go back and be that point of luck that allowed him to survive other points in the movies, which would have been a little cheesy. It would have been a little retroactive. But I think, again, if you're going to if you're going to do time travel, let's fucking do it. You know, like, let's fucking.
It's not the climax of your film. Make it significant. It's not just like a tourist trip.
But the problem is, if you do that, if he goes back to the Temple of Doom and saves Short Round somehow there, and then he goes back to Raiders and saves Marion, and then he goes back to the Crusade and saves his dad, then he fucking has to go back and save his son. And again, if you reference the top of your script, it says fuck Shia LaBeouf. So then you immediately go, well, we can't do that because, of course, he's going to save his son and fuck Shia LaBeouf.
I don't think he's not going to fuck Shia LaBeouf. That's a
he is not going to have sex with Mutt. And so because of that, then they're like, OK, well, what do we do? OK, well, he's a historian, an archaeologist. So let's send him back to a point in time that he would have found super duper interesting, therefore probably actually ruining all time itself as we know it. She's going to be the new Indiana Jones, right? The next, because fuck Shia LaBeouf.
Go for the goddaughter.
Then, yeah, the new Indiana Jones movies are going to star, what's her name? I don't know. She's in Fleabag. I can't remember what. I was thinking she was in a different show.
Did you get a feeling in this movie like I did? Like you're seeing an old Indiana, an old Harrison Ford of a character, and you're like, I've been seeing a lot of this lately, of the Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Sorry, real quick. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is, yeah. And she's awesome and deserves our respect.
We've been seeing this old Harrison Ford version of prior characters. And this is the third time. He's had quite a few years. We get to see the old Harrison Ford, the old Blade Runner, and now the old Indiana. And him just playing these, oh, here I am now, the older, hobbled version. And like, just playing to our heartstrings. And like, he's gotten to do that for all of his major characters. You know, it's just, we've seen this three times.
I want him to play... who's Clear and Present Danger? Whoever that character is, like 100 people. Oh, Jack Ryan. 100 people have played Jack Ryan, but God, Indiana Jones.
Right. Let's see him do the old washed up old man Jack Ryan. So let's just finish this up, put a bow in it. We could talk about it. He ends up in the present. Now he had nothing to live for, but now he's got the goddaughter and she's healing him up in his New York hotel. But you could see that he has the device and things happened. And she comes in the apartment with Karen Allen, who's like putting away groceries. And he hasn't seen her. He's like, what the hell? And I guess she just asked for help and she still loves him in her own way. And they have a very cute moment. Everyone leaves the apartment and they recreate from Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, like the lines for the first kiss.
Yeah.
I think I even cried a little bit.
I was real close. Like, I was super happy.
Just something about their old love and the pure love and the having that pure love and where you are in time as the older people. It got me. I did not expect it.
Scott.
Yeah.
Where doesn't it hurt?
Here. On the lips. So it's a little bit of a happy ending for Indiana.
My last note in my notebook is boink.
Is what?
Boink.
Everyone leaves. They have old person sex.
Yeah, they do.
Old person bone. Old person bone. Yeah, he takes his hat, but he puts his hat on. He takes his hat from the laundry and
puts it on. That's right.
Folks, if you want to know how Indiana humps, I know everyone's had their fantasies. Just know he does do it with the hat on. Just we can now, and as to whether the whip's involved, that's up to your imagination.
You can leave your hat on.
There's definitely a hat on. There's probably a whip.
Okay, not always. The whip isn't all, the hat is always on. The whip just comes out for special occasions.
I want to see her doing like 20 shots of vodka right before.
Dude.
She's a tough old broad.
Yeah, she is.
So yeah, it's a fine Indiana film. It's got the like last second hijinks. A lot of car chases for me. It wasn't revolutionary. The time travel wasn't great. It's a sad future for a guy that was such an extraordinary person, but you know, they give it a little bow. Time travel, not that significant, but we have created a loop and Indiana's a part of history.
We may talk about this on the next episode when I try to, when I rewatch a couple of YouTube videos and see how I still, the latitude, the continental drift, that is just wrong. That is just, I'm going to say it. Usually I'm like, I think that's wrong. Continental drift does not affect. Now, if what they could have said was 2000 years ago, we didn't have sophisticated enough equipment to map the world the way we did. That makes sense. It would not be precise, but continental.
So it's a poor choice. Yes.
Yeah.
Longitude and latitude are the same. All right. That's the biggest loop. I mean, the other one is just that this is a loop and it has to have always happened that way, but they treat it linear, but it's not. Besides that, there's not holes in it. It wasn't a lot of time travel and they're using math. But what was different,
yeah,
what I like is it was a mathematical way of finding fissures. So
yeah.
However, how do they know that going through that fissure will just take them back? I guess it was the same fissure they used.
She explains it. Just because they know this, because why wouldn't they know it? Like, it'll be open for a certain amount of time. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever, passing through it leaves it open. Yeah, that's something I wish I could I could talk to a little bit more precise.
It felt like an Indiana Jones film in terms of them being in, like, the cave and they figure out all the riddles and what you got to do to get in the right spot. You know, that's always, they're always the best at that. Like in Raiders or Last Crusade, Penitent Man, like that, you know, and exotic locales.
So where is it? So this is no less than the third best Indiana Jones movie. Where are you at with?
Well,
I'm Raiders, Crusade and Dial. I'm not sure on. I'll have to rewatch Crusade. And then Doom is 4. And then Skull is 5.
I am Raiders, Crusade, Doom, Dial.
Wow.
Skulls.
Wow. You put.
It's just not. Yeah.
That's nostalgia, people. That is not.
No, it's still as racist as the film is. There's the adventure of like an exoticness. He's like fighting through the streets of like Hong Kong, hopping in an airplane, ridiculously jumping out in an inflatable thing through the Himalayas, going down into India, and then like discovering a hidden like voodoo supernatural. It's still, and with Kate Capshaw being annoying.
Kalima.
This film is nothing extraordinary to me. It's just, if I said, hey, write a script that just makes sense. It's got the Indiana things. It's an Indiana adventure. And they said, here, I'd be like, yeah, that does it.
Well, it's Star Wars Episode 7. And that was a great movie.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. Yeah. 7 was not revolutionary. That's a good example.
I don't want to fuck with Scott's opinions this much. Scott has allowed his opinion, but.
Yeah, yeah. This and Crystal Skulls are definitely the two worst, I think. And I think a lot of people agree, but I leave things open and I get why Temple of Doom has its issues.
But I think nostalgically Doom is awesome. It's a great adventure. But
Kate Capshaw's role takes back the women's liberation movement to like 50. Well, it's in 37, so maybe it's
appropriate.
But it just takes, she's the most helpless, whiny person in that.
Oh shit. I know we've got like 2 minutes.
No, we're good. I'm good, actually.
Do you want a Dial of Destiny? Do you want an anal fissure?
I only want the Dial of Destiny to keep it out of hands of those that would use it poorly. I am not going to use this thing. I am not going to go into a fissure not knowing where I am. And if my plane crashes and there's one, there's no way of getting back to a fissure. And I'm not doing it. There's not enough control. Over
what if, I mean, there's nothing to say that some of these couldn't exist on land in a cave or something, but.
Right. But do you know when?
I'm still with you that like.
Do you know when it's going to close?
Yeah.
Or do you go through and you get attacked with a spear? I don't know. You know.
Well, that's true with any time travel though. Like.
This is a question we've asked. Like, would you time travel if you have no control over it?
Yeah.
And I, depending on my situation, if I'm in a thing where I have no friends, family, loved ones, children, significant other. Maybe, but like, otherwise it really changes my life potentially to not quality if I end up in a prehistoric age and all of a sudden I got to build shelters and try to eat animals and kill them and it's not being poisonous and what my body's used to bacteria wise. What about you? You take a Fisher?
I think I'm fully on board with you too. I think the randomness of this is too, I mean, I don't know. Again, I need to listen to it again and see, like, because other than the fact that, quote unquote, let's just pretend the continental drift thing is true, Helena seems to have a pretty good grasp on, like, mathematically how this functions. But, you know, if it functions precisely the way she describes it, because she seems to know, like, this is where the fissure will be. This is how long it'll stay open. This is when you need to get back. You know, again, I probably wait till my life is just about worthless where I'm at.
Like Indiana's was in the movie.
But but if it's just like, here's this timepiece, give it a spin and see what happens. I'm good.
Yeah.
Like when I flatline, you can send my dead body to some unknown reaches of the universe. That'd be fun. That's what my dying wish is to be kept frozen until time travel exists. And then I just want my body shot into a random point in time.
Be the experiment.
Just to completely. Yeah, exactly. Like, send me back 2000 years and then try to dig me up tomorrow and see how things go.
I keep thinking, I still think I want to go to Woodstock.
We have found a man with a fedora and a douchey mustache was recently just dug up in the Egyptian desert. Yeah. Just changing everything we know about modern.
What does this t-shirt mean? Who is this Bart Simpson? What is this Budweiser?
What is... Someone was found buried next to an ancient mummy wearing a Gap t-shirt.
What can we learn about history? Very cheap material. All right, no fishers for us.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time fissures. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check us out on Instagram. We are at time_pop_pod. That is at Time Pop Pod. Keep sending us great movie recommendations. Please, please send us more movie and TV show recommendations. I'm going to say it right here, everybody. I've been kind of toying around with it, but we're going to start releasing more episodes in September, hopefully weekly. Worst case scenario, I shouldn't say worst case. There's a lot of worst case scenarios.
Yeah, we learned that in the world of time travel.
We could wind up in ancient battling Nazis in 2012 BC. But we're going to start releasing more episodes. And the extra episodes are going to be probably more TV-based or short-based. But we would love, if we're going to bother with doing more episodes, we would love to make sure that we're hitting you right where you love it. So send us those recommendations.
Right where it hurts.
Right, I was going to say right where it hurts. I'm like, I don't want it to hurt. I want to hit you in your love spot. I want to watch something that that you guys have been dying for us to cover for a while. We are almost at 100 episodes. By September, we will be in triple digits. And if we have done 100 episodes and we haven't done something that you're dying to hear, get on us about it. We need to get to that this fall. Send those to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. You can also send any questions or comments from this or any past episode to the same address. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. And also, tell us if it's worth doing without Ari. Like, are Scott and I just wasting our time? Did you even make it this far? Did you turn the episode off?
No, Ari not here.
They're more like Indiana Jones and the Dial of...
Also, happy birthday, Ari. Special birthday.
Well, when you're a Time Lord, what is age? I mean, really?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Are we officially Time Lords?
Ari is definitely a Time Lord.
Ari's a Time Lord. I'll let her know. She'll be very excited.
Happy birthday, Ari. Enjoy your trip. Scott, enjoy your trip. We're taking a recording break. Thankfully, we got this one in. We're going to keep releasing every other week. We will be back recording soon. Nobody wants to know where you're going, Scott. Everybody listening just wants to know what you're going to watch on your trip over the Atlantic.
Oh, man, I'd have to get the iPad out. I don't remember. I did download every other Indiana Jones film.
awesome. That's a good start.
For sure. I'm going to start Last of Us finally. A bunch of old Kids in the Hall, old Mr. Shows. I forgot. I think I put Inception on there. Gravity. Oh.
Just to pump one more thing, everybody. This October, for the celebration of Back to the Future Day, I have the complete animated series in my hand. 26 episodes. They say somewhere, they say on the back, travel to the past and the future, but I can't find an episode where they actually do go into the future. I think that's a lie. But if I can figure out which episode they go into the future, that'll definitely be the one we cover on this podcast.
Right. It's exciting. Back to the Future Day.
October 21st, 2020.
If anyone out there wants to sponsor our trip to New York to see Back to the Future, the musical, we will gladly accept donations, flights.
We'll stay. We'll sleep on your couch. We can all save some money.
We can talk about time, space, continuum.
We'll record the podcast in your living room. I mean, you can't get a better deal than that.
That's a good deal. Good deal.
Awesome. Well, take care, Scott. Have a great trip. On behalf of all Time Pop listeners, we love you and we miss Ari. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott. See you in the future or the past.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. You can leave your hat on.